Welcome to Hawaii's Tomorrow. Coming up today, Jeff meets with newsmakers, shares breaking news, spotlights top community activities and leaders. He'll keep you ahead of the news and informed as you make your way home today. So join Jeff Davis right here, right now, and every day at 5. So stay tuned and you'll have something to talk about over dinner tonight with Hawaii's Tomorrow today. That's Hawaii's Tomorrow today.
Aloha. We are on the air.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Aloha. Welcome to Hawaii's Tomorrow. I hope you guys had a great day out there. We had fantastic weather here in Hawaii. And, you know, thanks to my guest yesterday, Senator Ruderman. But I've been promising for quite a while for this special occasion. I'm very excited. It's really an honor to be out here. I'm coming live to you from Coconut Island. You're a solar guy, Jeff Davis. And who's joining me?
It's Carly Wine or your marine science gal.
Okay, marine science gal. Of course, for those of you who listen regularly, as so many of you do, thank you so much for getting back to me via email and whatnot. Cardi comes in at least once a month from the University of Hawaii's COSI program. Tell us a little bit about that, Cardi.
Sure, Jeff. I work for COSI Island Earth, and that stands for Centers for Ocean Sciences Education Excellence. And we do a lot of science communications throughout the community, both visitor and island residents. And we're based at the School of Ocean and Earth Science and Technology at the University of Hawaii. And today we're actually broadcasting live from the Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology, located on Mokuloloi or Coconut Island.
Coconut Island for most of the folks out there who are familiar with it. But and that's unfortunate, yeah, Carly, that the true name, the Hawaiian name, Mokuloloi, Island of Loe. Is that what it is?
That is correct.
Something very important, I presume, in their mythology and history. And we'll be hearing, how many guests do we have today here on Coconut Island, Carly?
Well, we have a jam-packed show. We have four really important people here to talk with us today. We have Dr. Joanne Leong, at first the director of the Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology. Welcome to the show, Joanne.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Great to have you here. And Joanne, we have a thriving research program here at the Marine Biology Institute with many dedicated scientists. And sadly, we lost one of our great research faculty recently, Dr. Marlon Atkinson. Did you want to share a few memories or a little bit about Dr. Atkinson and his contributions to Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology?
I'm happy to do that. Marlon died on February 16th. He was 61 years old, and he was doing one of his famous cookouts. It was at the end of the Alliance for Coastal Technologies, and he always had these cookouts, and he wasn't feeling well. He went in to look at some data on his computer, and when they finally found him, they could not revive him. But he was a really special person. We all miss him. We talk about him all the time. His work had to do with nutrient cycling on a reef. He was one of the world-renowned biogeochemists, and I find we really need him. It was an interesting story. He's one of the issues is that Darwin always said, how can we have a coral reef in the middle of an ocean where the nutrients aren't very high? Well, he was able to solve some of that. And one of the stories I like to tell about Marlon is that he would tell all of this very fancy work, and he would now then put a differential calculus on the board, and it would stop everything with the biologist. And it was amazing. He could understand both biology and mathematics.
You know, Carly, I've never obviously met the man because I'm not in your field, but I really like starting off the show like this because people tend to look at science as something very technical and almost stainless steel. And thank you, doctor, for reminding us that this is all about being a human being, and there's a lot more to it than numbers and facts and figures.
Yes, thank you. He was what we call the curmudgeon. He always challenged some of the scientific questions out there, and that was great.
And Joanne, I mean, you must be so lucky to have so many dedicated research faculty, and you have to manage all of this here out at Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology. What's it like to be the director of such a thriving marine institute?
You know, I was going to tell you first it was like herding cats, but what I will say instead is it's always a challenge. when I first arrived, I like to tell the story of me sitting in my office, or Phil's office, for the first time, and Larry Riley came up with a bleeding leg. He had just fallen through one of the docks. Well, those docks have all been replaced. We didn't even have Band-Aids. That has changed. And it's been our success rate for bringing in grants, and we have 50 to 60 graduate students, and we hired 9 faculty. So I'm feeling really good about it right now.
How many years have you been the director, Duane?
I'm
speaking with the Dr. Duane Myung. She's the director out here on Moko'oloi or Coconut Island. How many years have you been directing?
It's going to be 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
I'm curious, again, about the human side of it. What's it like? Carly asked you, what's it like? But, I mean, 11 years, is this like a family? Is this like a nurturing thing? Or is it a work of love, a labor of love? What's it like?
Every one of the people who work here is very special. And I think I can say that from the moment I walked on, I love this place. And it's going to be something I wanted to take care of since they recruited me to the place.
And Joanne, what are some of the things that you're most proud of here?
Well, I'd like to say that we've recruited an outstanding faculty, and we have some amazing students and staff here. We have conducted groundbreaking research on marine protected areas, and the role of environmental parameters in coral reef health. We've opened up HIMB, and that's made possible by the fact that the Hawaii State Legislature gave us some education specialist positions. So we have 2 of them here to talk with you. I'd like to also say that these opportunities to train our young people have been very important. So today we found out that 2 of our Hawaiian students got NSF pre-doctoral awards. Very prestigious and very hard to come by. And we just graduated the first PhD student of Native Hawaiian descent from the biology program at the UH, which is really a phenomenal thing.
Congratulations. That's huge. And then, of course, today, Carly, we opened it up, and, of course, the tribute from Dr. Leong. But I hope people understand what we're doing out here. Now, I got the tour. And Carly, you and I go way back. We've done shows while you were on research vessels via satellite phone. Where were you guys at that time?
Yeah, we actually had the opportunity to call in this summer when we were on the Reef Assessment Monitoring Program research cruise up in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands, or the Papahanao Mokuakea Marine National Monument.
And then, of course, your last show was something that I presume is also under study here, and that, of course, is climate change relationship to organisms in the ocean, pH, et cetera.
Yeah, our previous show was sea level rise and climate change, and prior to that, we did some deep sea research. So we like to showcase all of the research going on in the oceans, not just the biology, but the physical oceanography and all the elements that are very important to research and the ocean functioning as a whole.
You know, Dr. Leong, besides the actual hard science occurring here, which goes from the micro to the macro, the micro side of it, like you said, and the question to you was, if you're doing all these tours and all the children and teenagers and whatnot coming through here, interacting and getting their first taste of this or smell of it almost, is there some kind of a DNA that exists in certain individuals where that's just an immediate attraction? And how many young people have scarred their career simply by being exposed to Coconut Island or Moko'oloi?
We don't have the exact number about the number of young people who have been prompted into going into marine biology. But Mark's program has gone through, 4,000 a year. And if we just assume that we've reached 10% of them, we're doing very well.
4,000 a year, I had no idea.
Well, I think also one of the important points here is that the Marine Biology Institute is not just about research, and there is a ton of education programs happening. We have established high school labs. We have a thriving community education program where they do tours and school groups. We do a lot of community outreach. We go into the neighborhoods. We talk with the families and the kids, not only the resident, but the visitor populations as well. And I think that makes the marine science a lot more reachable to the public previous to what it was before. And so I think both under Joanne's leadership and a lot of our scientists and students, we really have been able to share our science and our knowledge with the community.
Well, you know, again, it goes back to the human side of this, because we've got several very esteemed doctors. For instance, Phil Elfrich, we'll be introducing him. He's the former director for 15 years here on the island. He saw it go from a private citizen, kind of a pleasure island hotel slash I don't want to go there, but basically it went from just somebody owning this beautiful sacred place into turning it in what it is today. We're going to be talking with Dr. Ruth Gates. She does research here on coral reef, aptly important to what we do. Mr. Mark Heckman, I think Dr. Leon referred to Mark in his program. That's the interaction, 4,000 people a year coming through, getting their first taste of it, getting their education, coming into the labs. He was formerly the director of Waikiki Aquarium, if I'm not mistaken, for 17 years. Again, he directs all the education aspects of this type of thing. This is going to be a great show. A lot of stuff's going to be going on. I'm really happy to be here with you, Carly.
Thanks. And I think before we move on to some of the history of Mokuloi or Coconut Island, I just want to ask Dr. Leong, before we turn it over to Phil here, what has been the most challenging position or challenging thing you faced here at Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology? I mean, you have such a great job. There's so many positives. What are the one thing you might like to see different happening out here?
The biggest challenge is keeping Mokuloi is like a ship in the middle of the sea, and trying to keep that ship afloat is one of the largest, biggest challenges. We have one ship that takes the trash off and brings all supplies on. That one ship is something that Phil built and something that we take very good care of. We pay for everything. We pay for security. We pay for electricity. We pay for the landscapers, and we pay for the janitorial service. This is all covered on the main campus. We have to take care of it ourselves.
Professional fundraiser on the side.
Exactly.
What about the most rewarding aspect of being a director out here for 11 years?
It's been rewarding seeing the faculty grow, their careers develop, the students graduate and find great careers, and opening this island up to the public.
So much. We'll go to a traffic break and we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Phil Helfrich.
Seven 760 KGU,
part of the Wall Street Business Network.
a couple of new accidents reported in Kalihi on North King at Gulick Avenue and downtown at Alakea and Merchant. Also had an accident on the Pali Highway, Kailua bound, just down from the tunnels. No problems if you're going over to the windward side on the Likelike or the H3. The drive east to Hawaii Kai is normal. Going west, the H1 slows at the airport exit on the viaduct. The Moana Lua slows in Fort Shafter Flats.
The sun is the root source of energy in food, fossil fuels, and wind energy. The clearest use of the sun's energy is solar power. BanQu Solar brings to Hawaii a technological breakthrough that maximizes the power from each solar module. With our AC Unison system, BanQ Solar's AC Unison modules have microinverters on each module that converts DC electricity to AC electricity, allowing your system to produce 5 to 25% more power than other solar systems. It's cost-effective, has a 25-year warranty and an attractive all-black design. The AUO BanQ Solar Company is one of the most trusted companies in the solar industry. With state and federal incentives in place and utility rates going up, now is the time to generate your own electricity with a beautiful BanQ solar system. It looks great, produces more power than standard solar systems, and saves you money in the process. Call 554-7200 for your local BanQ solar installer and enjoy your savings now.
280,000 acres. That's the size of Molokai, Lanai, and Kahoolawe put together. It's also the amount of the prime farmable ag land designated in Hawaii. 280,000 acres. That's a lot of prime farmable ag land, and it needs to be preserved for agriculture. Aloha, I'm Dean Okimoto of Nalo Farms, and this fact is brought to you by Ho'opili, a new community where commercial farms, neighborhood, and home gardens will be part of the community's design. And there's so much more. Log on to www.ho'opili'oahu.com.
Over the past century, more than 90% of koa forests in Hawaii have disappeared as tropical hardwood prices have skyrocketed. Hawaii's koa forests are an important part of our ecosystem and a symbol of our island heritage. Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Hawaii's Tomorrow need your help to repopulate 1,000 acres on the Big Island with new koa trees. For $60, you can sponsor your very own koa legacy tree on the slopes of Mauna Kea. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Along with a beautifully engraved personalized certificate, $20 will also be donated to the charity or organization of your choice. Gift a gift that grows grander year after year. And see how simple the act of planting a tree can change the face of the planet. To plant your Hawaiian Koa Legacy Tree, go to hawaiistomorrow.com and click on the Legacy Tree icon. Again, hawaiistomorrow.com. That's Hawaii's with an S, tomorrow.com.
Aloha, it's Jeff. Is it hotter in your home than out on your lanai? Do you wish there was an energy-efficient way to cool down? Wouldn't it be nice to turn on the trays at the flip of a switch? Well, my friends at Island Cooling have been quietly promoting the energy-efficient whole house fan for years. It works by drawing fresh air through your home, pushing the hot air out through your attic. Call the Whole House Fan experts at Island Cooling, 672-2300, 672-2300, or go to islandcooling.com. Aloha.
If you would like to join Jeff Davis and his guests on the air, call now at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now back to the Solar Guy.
You're listening to Hawaii's Tomorrow with Jeff Davis, the Solar Guy.
Aloha. Now you do it. I like your voice better.
Thanks, Jeff. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we are broadcasting live from the Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology, Moku'uloi, or Coconut Island. So we're going rogue here. We've had a couple technical difficulties. Hopefully we work those out, and we'll be back with you guys for the rest of the show. So, Jeff, do you want to introduce our next guest?
Oh, you know, by the way, Connie Weiner, of course, he does my show once a month, sponsored by COSI from University of Hawaii. She does a great job of it. And she's got an office out here, and I am so jealous of you. Can I borrow your office one day?
Well, we're a little tight on space right now here, but anytime.
A lot of renovation going out here. Now, speaking of borrowing your office, I don't know if you're going to be able to get Dr. Phil Heffetz out of your chair, Dr. Leong, because he just sat down in the director's seat. Looks like was William Shatner sitting down to lead the Star Trek Enterprise back out. And I'd like to welcome Dr. Phil Heffetz, former director of the Marine Biology Lab and founder You know, you told me a story, Phil. By the way, I met Phil in my with my hat of a solar guy. Went to his house. And if any of you have had me out to the house, you know I'm more interested in your landscaping, your kids, and your dogs than this darn job, even though I am very good at it, 554-7200. But to go on, all kidding aside, he mentioned that he lived, Phil, Dr. Phil, you're up on the side of a hill there looking down on Coconut Island and Kanehoe Bay, and you mentioned that you used to work out here, in fact, be the director, and that's where our conversation went from there. And it's an honor to be here with you. And, again, you're sitting at the director's chair where you held for 15 years. Tell me, when you first came to Coconut Island, how much research was going on here way back when, Doctor?
Well, that's interesting. I'll give you a little background there. When I first came here, I met my major professor, Dr. Robert Hyatt, who had just contacted the then owner of Coconut Island, one of the five owners of Coconut Island, Edwin Pauley, the California millionaire and oil man, who for whom Pauley Pavilion is named in many places at the University of California. So we, came out here. I first came out here in 1953 as a graduate student, and was really appalled with the place. At that time, it was just a little laboratory, shoreside laboratory, attached to the zoology department of the University of Hawaii. And believe it or not, we only had two permanent employees that maintained the place, ran the boats, and the rest of the faculty were faculty of the zoology department who came out here on mostly Saturdays, weekends, and so forth. And I soon learned that not only did you come out to do some research, but you also helped to maintain the place, and I helped to tack the roofing on the roof and fix the dry rot in the docks and so on and so forth. So it was really a group of faculty who were basically naturalists. There was lots of applied work done here. Then the tuna industry was consisted of a bunch of sampans, were dependent on the bait fish, and the big emphasis on research here was how to keep bait fish alive and support that industry. And we got our first big federal grant from the Office of Naval Research to study Ciguatera fish poisoning, which my old mentor Hank Banner got involved in when he was in the military. And these were the things that kept it going. And finally, we were built up gradually. And as Joanne said, the big challenge here was to get faculty. And I concentrated on the few that I was able to hire on young people who had lots of potential, who were raring to go, had sort of fire in the belly to get things done. And I want to emphasize that this laboratory was unique, perhaps unique in the world, being the only laboratory that was actually built on a living coral reef, and where much of the research on coral then was done in Australia relating to the Great Barrier Reef. This was the place where Australian students actually came to get their advanced degrees.
Well, I could imagine it'll be the last one built on a live coral reef. So that's majorly politically incorrect as I speak. Carly, what do you know about that aspect of the future of marine laboratories? Is today, Carly, are you aware where do they rank marine laboratories? Where does Coconut Island, Mokoroe rate on the scale of world laboratories and marine biology laboratories?
Well, I'm not sure if there's an exact ranking, but I do know that it is widely respected across the world, and rightfully so. It is an amazing facility. And prior to it being this amazing research facility, Coconut Island and Mokuloi had a really interesting history. Dr. Helfrich, you contributed to this book, Mokuloi, that was written about the history of Coconut Island. Can you tell us a little bit about what existed prior to the Marine Biology Institute?
The mission of the laboratory, the mission of the laboratory was basically research, training, and public service. And we got the research done when we and were able to squeeze in some public service in tours and so forth that Mark does so well now as a formal program. This was all done in our spare time. The book, The History of Coconut Island, I'd like to make quick reference to. As you know, the previous owner, Christian Holmes, had quite a reputation as a millionaire, heir to the Fleischmann fortune, which was Fleischmann yeast and Fleischmann gin. And he came out, bought first a place in Waikiki, that's the now Queen Surf area, and then came to Coconut Island and took this little 12-acre island and built it up into a 24-acre lavish playground. And he had a zoo and a swimming pool and a bowling alley and a shooting gallery and so on and so forth. And he was quite a showman, and the reputation of some of the parties that he gave were pretty fabulous. I'm not sure how true they are. At one point, he was claimed to have jumped out of an airplane and parachuted it down to his guests. And when the party was over, fired a cannon through a plate glass window to say, okay, the party's over. When I heard some of these stories from a person who had worked for him, I said, oh, come on, this can't be true.
Well, doctor, you haven't been to a party in my house, have you? You've never been to one of my parties, apparently.
Well, okay. anyway,
academic types that have a sense of humor right now, but, you know, let me ask you this. We're talking to a piece of history here, and I am not a marine scientist, but I'm just jealous as I can be of the idea of your career matching the time frame of this island being turned into a lab, and where it's gone from then to now. You're still a healthy young man. You get to see all this. You were a director for 15 years. How much more? I mean, you've had the perfect life. Wouldn't you agree when it came to your career?
Well, I think so. I feel extremely fortunate having been involved. And a lot of that relates to the people that Ed Pauley brought here. You know, see, he was a regent at the University of California for 32 years and was a personal friend of all of the presidents. As the display area will show you, pinning medals on Dwight Eisenhower, riding in a limousine with John Kennedy. And I met Vice President Lyndon Johnson out here when Ed Pauley had a little party for the governors of 50 states and their families up on the lawn here. And the interesting little anecdote about that was that Lyndon Johnson got kind of bored and walked into my secretary's office to use the one telephone that we had on the island then. And my secretary got a little bit impatient and said, now, are you a member of an official party? And he replied, madam, I am the Vice President of the United States, and I'd like to use your telephone. But those are the kind of things that I experienced as just a young grad student around here, knocking around and watching this place grow, and I just feel very fortunate.
Well, that just goes to show you how far I'll go to sell a solar, ladies and gentlemen. Doctor, it was a pleasure to meet you. I want to thank you for, you know, filling us in and just your voice and everything. We get a real sense of commitment, and like it's very, very rich, your experiences out here. And if you don't mind, we are going to go out to our next traffic update. And we're going to come back, and we're going to let go of Dr. Phil Helfrich, and again, former director for 15 years. Contributed to the book, and thank you for letting me borrow your version of the book. I took it home with me to get an education. The book's called Moku Oloe, A History of Coconut Island. Christian Krieger, I guess, was the professional author type of thing, how to write a book, but of course, all your input's in there, and your help with the funding. I'll be back with Carly Weiner. I wanted to move on with some other doctors out here on Coconut Island, live from Coconut Island. We're going to be speaking with Mark Heckman. Now, Mark does what I do, but it's just stays right here for the marine biology. He is the community and education director out here, formerly from Waikiki Aquarium, 17 years of educating. And, of course, I'm getting an education today. We'll also be talking to the rocket scientist, Dr. Ruth Gates. Now, she's sitting here taking the crying out of everybody and laughing at us all. Well, we're about to take it all back onto her. And she's got a great sense of humor, but she's also a rocket scientist. And thanks to, if I'm not mistaken, a benevolent contributor, they have now got one of the most amazing microscopes on the planet Earth. We'll be hearing about, she specializes in coral reefs, something that we should all care about for ourselves, our children, and generations to come. So we got Jeff going out to traffic. And this is brought to you by University of Hawaii Research, and that's Kosi Island. And they are outreach folks. They believe in not just collecting data, but sharing it with the public. I hope you're getting a fair dose of it today. Your solar guy, Jeff, will be right back. And aloha.
760 KGU.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
Had a stall earlier this afternoon on the H1 on IAEA, and that's the reason for the extra slow traffic going west from town right now. The H1 slows at the airport exit on the viaduct. The Moanalua slows at Fort Shafter Flats. You're going to be in heavy traffic until you get out to the Waipahu exit. Inbound traffic from the west slows at Middle Street. Conditions are typical if you're going over to the windward side or if you're going out east to Hawaii Kai.
Want to go green for your home or business? Hawaii Community Reinvestment Corporation introduces its new Green Sun Hawaii program, an innovative public-private partnership to make energy improvements affordable for everyone. Green Sun Hawaii gives you the power to significantly reduce your utility bill. Visit Hawaii National Bank or other participating lenders or one of the many authorized energy contractors for more information. Or visit greensunhawaii.com and click on the easy-to-use loan application.
If you're unhappy with the high prices or the way you've been treated by mainland corporations, get rid of them. Let Hank's Tax Service help you. Hank and his employees have been preparing taxes in Hawaii for close to 20 years. The sharpest preparers from Hank's 2 decades of unparalleled tax service have rejoined him to serve you, not make money for a mainland corporation. If you're paying over $200, you're paying way too much. Get rid of that mainland corporation and come to Hank's. Hank's Tax Service, 853-1170. 853-1170.
Aloha. This is a solar daughter, Lena Davis. My dad, the solar guy, Jeff Davis, has been telling me to listen to him my whole life. It's helped me, and I'm sure it'll help you too. Be sure to listen to my dad, the solar guy, 5 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday on 760 KGU. Aloha.
Aloha, this is the solar guy, Jeff Davis. The solar industry has changed enormously in the last 3 years. So many companies have entered the market that one of the most asked questions I hear is, what makes your company different? Solar Services Hawaii has been serving Oahu and neighbor islands for more than 20 years. Solar Services was awarded the best inspection rate statewide from the Hot Water Rebate Program. We were number one. Solar Services is a local family company. We recognize the need for service with Aloha. I personally have given a class for the IRS. I've lectured many, including 2 luncheons with the National Association of Tax Preparers. Roof penetration and tax issues are my focus. For all solar products, meaning hot water, photovoltaic, pool and spa heating, solar pool pumps, solar attic fans, you name it. We specialize in photovoltaics and hot water, and of course a free estimate is available. Just call my phone, Jeff Davis the Solar Guy, at 554-7200. That's 554-7200. You have a great day and aloha.
This is Chief Louis Kealoha of the Honolulu Police Department. As part of the HPD's Safer Roads program, our officers are enforcing traffic laws 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But we need your help. A few common sense choices can make a big difference. Stay within posted speed limits, use a hands-free cell phone device when driving, look out for pedestrians, and have a designated driver if you drink. Together, we can make Oahu's road safer and save lives. Aloha.
If you would like to join Jeff Davis and his guests on the air, call now at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Now back to the Solar Guy.
You're listening to Hawaii's Tomorrow with Jeff Davis, the Solar Guy.
Aloha, you're not only listening to Jeff Davis, the Solar Guy, you're listening to my co-host once a month, Carly Weiner. from, of course, University of Hawaii, Kosi Island Earth, which is, in her job description, is educating public. That's why she belongs here with me. Carly, why don't you introduce our next guest? Would you mind?
I'd be glad to, and it's actually a great honor. I've worked with Mark Heckman for many years now, doing education and outreach at the Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology. Mark runs a community education program here and brings thousands of school and community groups out to see the research going on at the Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Hey, thanks, Carly. Great to be here.
Oh, I'm excited. Can you tell us a little bit about the community education program and basically what you do out here?
Okay, so the concept is that we want to bring the public out to the island. We want to provide a portal to get some folks out here and get them to see what we do at the Research Institute here, and also to start building our next generation of ocean scientists, ocean stewards, right from our own local population.
Let's get this clear, Carly, because Mark's job is similar to yours, but he's a little more, I would say, hands-on, to be sure. 17 years of doing, well, I presume, Mark, were school buses, tours of different institutions, maybe even visiting scientists or other places from marine laboratories, et cetera. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I've got, we'll go for anybody. I build programs for preschool on up to college level. I have a short attention span. I pretty much love everybody. So the trick is to get that love of science across to a real broad population. And it's fantastic. It's fun.
All right. Now, think about it. I drove past Coconut Island. I've been in Hawaii since 78, and I've been by this place innumerable times in my job as the quote-unquote solar guy. And are you willing to let the cat out of the bag? Is the general public invited to Coconut Island?
Yes, they are. We are very popular, however, so we're opening it up slowly and carefully. Whatever we build for the long run. So I don't want to open up too fast and have to close back down. I want to build us as a community resource from now to forever.
That's like, what is that, job security?
Well, it doesn't need to be me. Remember, you know, at some point you'd step aside and let somebody else take the torch, you know, and go on.
Okay, and then what would the process be? For instance, I'm sure the school systems, and Carly would know about this as well, I mean, the process to get out here. What if you're just a curious citizen like myself who decided, you know, I want to know what to do. Is that something that you would encourage at this time, or are you still waiting to open that part up?
Well, I don't know about you particularly. We might have some questions there. But for your average person, no, I'm teasing you.
Don't worry, I have a radio show 7 days a week. Go ahead, take a shot at me.
No, really. We have a couple of core programs. We have our walking tours, which take a couple hours, and we have like a family Sunday once a month that we do a couple of tours on. But you could just get hold of us by going on the internet, looking up the Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology, click on an education tab, and there's on a page it'll say Tours of Coconut Island. Click on that page, and you can either set up your own tour, or you can join one of the tours that we have set up. Or if you're a school group, then you might look for one of our hands-on lab programs.
What would you say, Carly? I would suggest that they take a look at the book itself, Coconut Island, Moko'oloe. And, of course, we've got one of the authors of sitting here with us right now, former director, Dr. Philip Helfrich. Would you suggest that, Carly, that people try to get some sort of a background before they show up?
Well, that's definitely an option, and it's an amazing book. Mark's programs and some of the stuff that the community education program has developed for especially the school groups has just been fantastic. Mark, can you tell us a little bit about some of the labs and things that you have developed for the visitors that do come to the island?
Sure. So one of the popular programs for schools is the Expedition to Moko'oloe. They'll do a plankton tow on the way over, so they put a really fine mesh net in the water, and then when they get on island, they look at what they found under the microscope. And the kids and the adults that do it are just, they're thrilled with it. They're, you know, they're seeing these micro monsters, some of them. The arrow worm is always real popular. Its head is basically a ringed row of teeth, and it swallows its prey whole, but it's only a half inch long. But you look at it under the microscope, and that opens up a new world to these people. So the plankton lab is one of them. We'll pull up some of the invasive seaweed, and the school groups will dig through that, separating out the native from the non-native, finding little pistol shrimp and all kinds of just exotic, cool creatures that are right here in their backyard. So, yeah, the labs are great. We even do an overnight. We do a marine science overnight. The kids build their own light traps, and mostly they collect what we call spike heads, a really bizarre stage within a crab's life, lots of little spines sticking off of it. So lots of different aspects there.
Again, Carly, it sounds to me, I don't know how you got into it, Carly, and unfortunately I'm a little bit too old and over the hill, it looks like, but this is a magnet for, and again, I don't know if it's built into some people's DNA or if it's just something that's generic. Coconut Island is a magnet for someone who wants to learn, who becomes interested in their job. You know, again, we spoke with Dr. Phil Helfrich, talk about being interested in his job. Not only was he doing the marine science, but he got to see the evolution of this island as it turned into a world-class, very unique science laboratory, which it is today.
Well, Jeff, I think one of the most important points, too, that Dr. Joanne Leong touched on in the beginning of the program is that we are raising the next generation of marine scientists. We've had some of our local students for the first time graduating from marine science programs in the graduate program. And Mark's program is the starting point. The community education program and the outreach programs and the high school programs that we do here are avenues for our local students to get connected to the world of marine science. We are surrounded by an ocean here.
Well, did you hear the pride in the current director's voice, Dr. Joanne Leong, when she was talking about these accomplishments from other people and youth that have grown up to be accomplished scientists and have their careers fully ahead of them?
Absolutely. Mark, I mean, you have a lot of firsthand experience with the community. Is there a story or something that you're particularly proud of from your time here at Coconut Island that you would like to share?
Sure. I'll do two quick ones. One of my volunteers, he's retired, and when I had a young intern that wanted to start looking at coral damage, she needed somebody to dive with her to start doing counts of breakage and stuff. Mike, he jumped right in. You're never too old to come back and start to be a researcher again.
Are you talking to me?
No. I'm talking to myself, actually. I'm old and decrepit, but no, I still get out in the water a little bit. No, I'm just saying it's true. You know, you're never too old to get back in and make a difference out there, to learn how to do science and to be active. The other one, let me throw one other one in. I had a girl come out from the high school that wanted to be mentored, and she imagined she was going to do this marine science and work with sharks or fish. I showed her this tiny little plant, a half inch high, a seagrass, that nobody had done work on, and she was so disappointed. But her work was original. No one in the world had done it, and she went on with it to the Intel International Science Fair, just a local kid.
And she blames you for it ever since.
She seems to be proceeding on quite well without me.
You know, you mentioned volunteers. Is that something that you want to put out there? Do you guys actively need volunteers, and what kind, and how would they get a hold of you?
Again, the same thing. Come through the website, get our email, send me an email. I do have a very dedicated group of volunteers, and I rely on them. They teach the labs. They run the tours and such. Can't live without them. It's a small group. You know, we keep it, you know, focused. But, yeah, we always have a few more spaces.
Amazing.
Hey, Carly.
Thanks so much, Mark. I think we should move on, because I want to make sure we get a chance to talk to Dr. Ruth Gates.
Well, you know, she's got such a great sense of humor. She probably wouldn't mind if we just didn't even have her come on at all and just had her sit here and listen to the whole show.
Well, I would love to have her come chat with us.
No, we saved the best for last, so to speak. Nothing like a great outfit to liven up a radio show. And Dr. Ruth Gates, a researcher, if I'm not mistaken, specializing in coral reefs and operating the magical microscope now that you guys have just acquired. Aloha, welcome to Hawaii's Tomorrow.
Thanks very much, Jeff. It's really a pleasure to be here. Yes, the microscope, it's absolutely phenomenal. It was donated to us, or made possible through a donation to the University of Hawaii by Pamela Amidia. And it's a scope that uses lasers to essentially visualize living animals and recreate a three-dimensional image. So you can put these beautiful images up, and we've used it to visualize corals for the very first time, the very animated creatures.
The internals as well? Like,
yes.
if you put a human under there, you'd see your bone skeleton, your nervous system,
you know,
and
it's very
system.
Interesting. The technology was originally developed, actually, for human biology, and particularly for imaging through brains. And so, yes, you can't see all of the different tissue layers. It will only go through a set amount or a set depth of tissue, but it's pretty astonishing.
You know, I've heard of people sitting on the copy machine making copies of certain parts of their anatomy. But do you guys get to play with that thing, or is this 100% science?
It's 100% science, of course, Jeff.
That's what she said.
But not only is it science, it's also art. You just recently won an award for some of those images. Ruth, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we did. We had a fabulous manager on our microscope called Chris Farrar, and she developed in collaboration with a number of the faculty here a video of corals, living corals, that she submitted to an international competition. And we got the runner-up in that competition. It's quite a prestigious competition. And so it's fabulous because it actually gets out the idea that corals are really animated. They move a lot. There's a lot going on in them. They have lots of other animals living on them.
You haven't seen the pet coral on sale?
You know, I haven't. Should I?
No, but I'm joking in that respect, but I'm telling you, I had this thought because I've been doing a lot of diving in the Philippine Sea and with these corals, and I got to tell you, folks, corals have personalities.
Oh, they do, and they're not...
They're one step away from being a pet. I am not kidding.
And beautiful. And incredibly
beautiful. Let's ask some hard science questions here, because I do a lot of work. You know, I've worked with a lot of UH scientists on the show. Carly's probably aware. Dan Sadler and the folks that won the causalities, ocean sequestration of CO2, which happens to be following the Keeling curve, not marked, you know, breath by breath. Of course, if you're a specialist in coral region, then even the most ignorant of us in the general public generically, unless we do live in a shoebox, we know something about the pH of the ocean changing due to the CO2 and other gas sequestration, taking this in, breathing it out of our atmosphere. I'm not mistaken, Doctor, isn't it 50% of the CO2 being released in the atmosphere gets swallowed up by the ocean?
About, I think.
And so, on a hard science note, what are we looking at for our future here? What are you guys learning over here on Coconut Island about what's happening with coral and their health and, of course, climate change?
We have some amazing infrastructure here that actually allows us to recreate the conditions of the future. So we're able to actually test how animals are responding to warming and to ocean acidification, that is the uptake of CO2 into the ocean. And what we're discovering actually is through our manipulations and through the sensors that we've deployed in our environment here in Kaneohe Bay, is that the setting, the pH conditions in the ocean are much more variable than we had initially thought, which is actually quite helpful.
Worldwide?
Sorry?
Worldwide or depth-wide?
Actually, here in coastal environments, so in environments where corals themselves grow, we found that the pH conditions vary dramatically in the day.
Wouldn't that be common sense to a dummy like me, considering that they're going to have runoff from different types of land mass and different types of agriculture? Wouldn't that be something that you just expect to find?
You know, actually, it's quite interesting because when we think about what people are predicting for the future, they're actually using open ocean predictions, and nobody's really considered the variability that we find in the environment directly adjacent to reefs. And so what we found is some of the corals in our area are exposed to conditions that are predicted for 50 years from now. So they appear to be able to withstand variability in a way that we hadn't expected.
I mean, we're hearing some good news.
We are hearing some good news, I think. And
I got to tell you, I needed that because, you know, if you listen to enough folks, it doesn't look good for the future of course, the reef systems feeding, being the building block of the entire fish world.
Absolutely. I think what it points to is that we really don't understand our environment, the environment in which corals are actually thriving very well, or the way in which they're responding to that environment and the changes in it. Because we are in this incredible facility that allows us to get out on the reef 24 hours a day, we are able now, and also with technology, to examine the environment on time scales that have never been looked at before, on daily basis. And so that's giving us a lot more of information than we've ever had before.
This fascinates me, and I'm going to have you back on the show about this, kind of get into hard science, because the question then becomes, with so much focus being on this CO2 absorption by the oceans and the possibilities of a future, and of course ocean collapses have gone hand in hand with human extinction in the past, that question would be then, how much more research tools are you guys and money are people like you being given worldwide? Is this is this just burgeoning? Is the, you know, like you found out that, well, we have more of a rainwater runoff, or water's coming in from underneath this, you know, from the mountain, but it's coming in. There's different pHs all over, whereas before.
You know, Jeff, actually what we found is that there's a lot of animals that live on the reef that are actually metabolizing or respiring just like we are. They breathe in a different way in the day and night. And so what they do is they are actually influencing the pH. It's not necessarily about runoff from the land. So it is actually a natural process of variation that we're studying.
Yeah, that makes sense. Every different reef, depending on how vibrant it was,
exactly,
is going to have a different thing because of the exhaling of all the different organisms that live there.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, you
cool
hit on a really important point, that it's the healthy reef that's important. It's the entire ecosystem.
Now, see, you just thought I was a guy who was going to sit around and throw jokes at you, right? You didn't know that I actually did a little homework.
It's great, Jeff.
You're allowed to
Dr. Gates, I want to also make sure that you get a chance to share a little bit about your research that you do, because what I think that you do that is so cool is you're not just studying the corals, but you're studying some of the organisms that are in the corals.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't even realize that that exists in our coral reef ecosystems. Can you quickly just tell us a little bit about that?
I certainly can, Carly, because, you know, as you know, I am fanatical about symbiosis. And and symbiosis is actually this very intimate interaction between two very different organisms, and corals are actually the sum of at least two very different organisms. That is a small single-cell plant and the animal itself. And the plant is able to capture sunlight and create food, which it then uses to feed the animal. And this plant lives inside the tissues of the animal. So when the plant is lost, it's the phenomenon known as coral bleaching. And I study the interaction between the plant and the coral animal. And here in Kaneohe Bay, we have some really, really interesting corals. Some of them only unite or form symbiosis with a single type of alga. And some of the other species have many different types. And it's been suggested that actually a shift in the type that you have might allow you to adapt to particularly thermal stress and ocean warming with climate change. And so this area is really, really fascinating. It's a microscopic world. We study it with a microscope. We study it with DNA sequencing techniques that allow us to visualize how patterns in the relationship change over time and space. It's really intriguing. And we now know that corals not only use algae, but they also use a lot of bacteria. They have little invertebrates that live on them and are integral to their biology, as well as fungi.
You must be a lot of fun at a party, Doctor. She starts talking and everybody just, who knows her, just kind of floats away. No pun intended. Unless you happen to be, as you said, rabid, so to speak, about these subjects, which I happen to be.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing. Well, Carly, we ran out of time. All these fantastic guests, I want to thank each and every one of them for helping to educate and to let folks out there who like this type of information know it's going to continue. How about you, Carly?
Yeah, well, I definitely want to take an opportunity to thank all of our guests today and to thank you, Jeff, for coming out. You know, we had a little technical difficulties here, but keep in mind we're broadcasting from this island, tiny island, Moku'uloi or Coconut Island in Kaneohe Bay. And I really want to make sure that we get a chance to thank the Hawaii Institute of Marine Biology and Kosi Island Earth, because they are the ones that are helping us through the University of Hawaii to connect marine science issues with Hawaii's local and visitor communities. And so
where do people go? Because I know, you know, I can use some help out there, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to intern on my radio show. But your side of things is so organized. It's amazing. Where would people go to listen to the shows that you do on our show?
Very easy. You just go to COSEE, that's COSEE-IE. That stands for Kosi Island Earth.net. And it's under our program. So, yeah, come on by and check us out, listen to previous shows. And thanks to you, Jeff, again, for making this all possible for us.
Oh, yeah, you learn well, because I thought I taught you from the beginning. That's the most important thing that you've said all day.
Fantastic.
Good, Carly. All right, everybody. Thank you, Carly. Thank you, all our guests. Again, Dr. Joanne Leong, Dr. Phil Helfrich, Mr. Mark Heldman, Dr. Ruth Gates. These people will be coming back. And Carly, thank you so much as well. And I'm so jealous of you guys. And of course, Carly, you got an office out here, darn you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. Now, hope all our listeners get out there and enjoy that.
Oh, by the way, Carly, I mentioned I'm the solar guy. I made the mistake of trying to have a radio show to sell solar, and I ended up being this instead. But by the way, folks, if you need one, 554-7200. I'll be back tomorrow with a representative, Chris Lee, on energy. Aloha.